Hello, my name is Sasha Goldstein and I work for Cello Group. This screencast is part of a series of Windows 7 how-to videos in which you'll learn how to use the new Windows 7 features from native code in C++ as well as managed C#.NET code. In this specific video, we'll learn about the Windows 7 taskbar jump lists. Jump lists are quite a complicated topic, and so we'll have two screencasts covering them, starting with this one. We've already seen quite a few features of the Windows 7 taskbar in previous videos. We've started with overlay icons and progress bars. Overlay icons are a mechanism to display status information as a little icon in the bottom right corner of your taskbar button. And progress bars are a way to display status information and progress information from your application in the familiar form of a green band moving through your taskbar button. Additional subjects that you'll see in future videos and the following screencasts are thumbnail toolbars, which is a way to remotely control an application from its taskbar button, thumbnail clipping, customization of thumbnails, and of course tab thumbnails and previews for MDI or TDI applications. In this video, we're going to focus on taskbar jump lists. We'll talk about the jump list architecture, the recent and frequent categories, and in the following video, we'll also see how to customize the jump list with custom categories and user tasks. In this video, I'm going to rely on some API fundamental that we covered in the introduction screencast. So you might want to see that video before proceeding to this one. So what is a jump list? A jump list is essentially a mini start menu that is appended to any application you see on your taskbar or in the start menu itself. Traditionally, in Windows XP and in Windows Vista, access to recent and frequent documents has been through the start menu. But there was no easy way, for example, to see all your recent Outlook messages and not all of your documents, or to see all your internet favorites and the internet frequent destinations without actually opening Outlook or Internet Explorer. Furthermore, if the application in question didn't have a file association registered, it doesn't really have the concept of a document, then you couldn't possibly see it in the recent documents area. Now, a jump list is just that for every application. It pops out of the taskbar icon of any application and shows, by default, a list of recent or frequent destinations for that specific application. It's not the only thing it can do, though. So let's take a look at a few jump lists, for example. The Word jump list, the Microsoft Office Word 2007 that you see here on the screen, shows you only a list of recent documents. This is useful, but the Internet Explorer jump list over here is much more interesting. Here you can see the frequently visited websites and also a couple of tasks at the bottom to open a new tab or to start an in-private browsing experience. The Media Player jump list also has some nice tasks for playing your music or videos, and even resuming a previous list or play all music tasks. Office Outlook 2010 has also some interesting tasks such as new email message, new appointment, new contact, new task, go to inbox, and so on. And you can see that all of these applications aren't actually open. So similarly to recent documents in the Windows XP start menu, you don't need the application to actually run to take advantage of all this functionality. Now let's see what's in a jump list. The jump list consists of several very well-defined parts, but you can customize most of them. On the bottom of the list, you see taskbar tasks, which are there by default. They can be used to run a new instance of your application. If it's running, you can pin or unpin it from the taskbar, or you can close the application window or windows if it's already running. Next from the bottom, you have user tasks, which are called tasks. Now, they don't actually belong to the user, so the name is quite misleading. They are generated by the application, and they can be used to launch another application or perform any other activity that doesn't require this particular application to be running. Now, you've already seen that Internet Explorer has a task to open a new in-private window or a new tab, and Office Outlook has a task to go to the user's inbox or to create a new message or a new appointment. Now, these are good examples of user tasks. Next, we have categories of destinations. We have files, documents, and so on for your application. And then we have three categories. We have the important category, which is a custom category generated by the application itself. It's not populated by Windows, and the OS itself knows nothing about it. Then we have the recent category and the frequent category that could also appear instead of the recent category that are populated by Windows, are populated by the shell, and we'll see how very shortly. And finally, you have the pinned category, which contains items the user has chosen to pin to the jump list by right-clicking them and choosing pin to this list. And let me show you an example. Here, if I take this video here, I can use the little pin, or I could even right-click and click pin to this list, and then the item moves to the top of the list, to the pinned category, so it can be easily found in the future. Now, if you want your application to enjoy the benefits of recent, frequent categories and additional custom categories, then one thing you need to do is make sure that you have a file type registered in the Windows registry. Now, it's entirely possible that you don't actually have to handle this file type by default. For example, your application could be registered as the handler of text files, but you could still have Notepad or whatever other editor you're using to open text files. So all you have to do to show an item, to show a document or a file in your jump list, is to be associated with it in some way, so that Windows knows that you could possibly handle these files if you encountered them. So let's take a look at the registry. If you just run regedit and accept the user account control prompt, then under hkeyclasses root, you'll see all the file extensions. And for each extension, there's information on the prog IDs, the program IDs, that can be used to open that file extension. So for example, if I go to the .album file extension, I can see that it opens with xp217.userinterface.imageviewer, and I could also have information for what parameters to pass to that application when launching it and its location and so on. Now, to register your own file extension, you could go and start editing the registry manually. You can use installer software, which usually gives you the option to do that, or you can use a nice helper class that's part of this video's sample code. It's called file registration, and it has only three useful methods. One is called rfileextensionsregistered, which checks if your program ID is registered to handle the file extension you want. And then you have register file extensions and unregister file extensions. And the former one just takes the program ID of your application and an array of strings, which are the actual extensions you want to register. That's all about this class. And you can see it in the source code, which I'll explain to you very shortly. In the solution that comes with this video, there is the file registration class with the three methods I promised you, and their implementation is quite tedious. Basically, you have to go to the registry and you have to create a lot of keys nested, a key under a key under a key, and so on, until eventually you have the actual command line and you set the command line you want your application to receive when the file is actually opened by your application. And similarly, there is the unregister file extensions method, which just does the opposite and unregisters. Now, if you have a registered file type, the system does the work for you now. It automatically tracks items that your application opens. For example, if the user clicks an item in the Windows Explorer and it opens with your application, or the user could actually deliberately open it with your application by right-clicking an item and selecting open with, then what happens is that the shell adds this information to the recent or frequent categories as you specified in your application. And even if you didn't do anything other than registering the file type, you'll have this behavior in your application. You'll have a recent category in the jump list which is exactly what Word 2007 does, because Word did not do anything to work with the Windows 7 taskbar. The 2007 version was released before Windows 7. And so you can get this behavior for free, and you might already have this behavior for free in your applications if you are a registered file type handler. Now you can also add items explicitly to the recent or frequent categories by using an API that's called SHA-add-to-recent. If you're using common file dialogs, however, this is not necessary. If the user clicks a file and goes through your application, this is not necessary. Now, you can also customize the category that will be displayed in your jump list and populated by the shell. You can have the recent category, or you can have the frequent category. And the code sample on this slide shows that you can initialize an instance of iCustomDestinationList, and then you call the appendKnownCategory method to choose which category you want to show on the list. It's uncommon to show both. You usually choose one of them, the recent or the frequent, but you could theoretically ask the system for both and then display both frequent and recent items. So let's see all of this in action. If I just run the sample application, then there's the possibility to register file types and unregister file types. Now the file type is just the text file extension. And if I just try to register now, then as you can see, it works. If I try to unregister, it tells me access denied. You do not have administrative privileges required to register the file type in the Windows registry. And the reason is that the Windows registry, the HKCR Hive, actually requires administrator access. You don't want any application just changing registrations around. And so if it's already registered, then the function register file type does nothing. But if I just want to unregister now, then I have to edit the registry. And to do that, I would have to launch the app as an administrator, which is of course possible, but I won't do it right now. Now, if I take a look at the application jump list, it has nothing in it whatsoever. It only has the taskbar tasks, no user tasks, no recent or frequent categories, no pinned items, nothing at all. And now I can click the load button. If I click it, a simple standard file open dialog is presented, and then I can choose a text file, which is what this application can handle. And voila, if you look at the recent category, the sample file is there. And if I click it, because my application is actually registered as the file handler, then another instance of my application shows up. Now, theoretically, I could also load the contents of the file into this big text box, but I haven't done so. Now, I can also change the category to be displayed by using the toggle frequent checkbox. Once I do that and choose, say, sample 2, then as you can see, in the jump list, I suddenly have the frequent category and not the recent category, and both files I've used are there, and you can even see that they're sorted by the frequency of access. The least recently used one is shown first. Now let's take a look at the code. The interesting parts would be the dialog procedure, in which I handle the actual window messages for registering and unregistering file types. This is the main dialog procedure which implements the entire logic for this application. So, I have here the code for actually registering and unregistering file types. It's right here under the WM command, IDC register file type and IDC unregister file type cases. So, all register file type does is check if file extensions are registered. It does so using the helper class that I've shown you earlier. And if the extensions are not registered, it tries to register them. And if it gets an error access denied, it shows the nice message box that I've showed you before. In the unregistered case, it's very similar. If file extensions are registered, then I try to call unregister file extensions. And again, if there's an access denied error, then I just show you the dialog, which is what we've seen earlier. The interesting part is under IDC load. which is where I call the display category changed function, which modifies the jump list so that it presents the right category, recent or frequent, as you required, and I show the open file dialog. So let's go to display category changed. What we have here is code to initialize iCustom destination list, which is what you've seen on the slides, and then I co-create instance it, and if I failed, I go to a cleanup location in my code. Next, I call begin list. Begin list actually starts what is called in the shell jargon, it's called a list building transaction, a jump list building transaction. So begin list actually begins building the list, and if you don't call commit list, then all the work you've done is automatically discarded. There's also a method to say abort, I don't want to commit these changes. And the idea is that you call begin list, you start populating the jump list, you could append known categories, you could append your own, you could append user tasks, and so on. And if at any point you want to roll back all of these changes, you just don't commit the list, or you call abort. And then all these changes go back. What I do here is check whether the combo, the checkbox is checked. And if it is, I pass KDC frequent, otherwise I pass KDC recent, to the append known category method. And then finally, if everything was well, then I call commit list, and now the changes are actually propagated to the jump list, and the appropriate category, recent or frequent, is shown as I asked. For more information about the Windows 7 taskbar, other than the series of screencasts that we are starting with this one, take a look at the Windows 7 tag on channel 9, at the Windows 7 blog for developers, at the training materials available regarding the taskbar on channel 9, and at the Windows 7 training kit that has some hands-on labs in native and managed code that show you how to use the Windows 7 taskbar. For a high-level design and engineering overview, for example why the taskbar was designed the way it was, take a look at the Engineering Windows 7 blog, the E7 blog. For API details in any of these videos, consult the NSDN documentation in the SDK. And of course, the sample code for each of these videos is also available together with the screencast. So thank you for joining me today, and good luck writing your next Windows 7 application.